Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 25, verse 4. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 4. And what we're going to talk about today is separating the dross from the silver. Take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. The finer here is the refiner, the person who's doing the refining. Take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. Now, we know from reading the Bible that God considers us vessels. According to 2 Timothy chapter 2, some of us are vessels of honor and some of us are vessels of dishonor. And the thing that distinguishes those vessels of honor and dishonor is what happens to the dross. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20, in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, okay, we're talking about silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. You see that? Now it's my supreme desire, and I hope it's your supreme desire, to be a vessel of honor to the Lord. But in order for that to happen, you've got to purge yourself, or you have to be purged, from these. And what he's talking about are various things that he's listed down here in this chapter and other things concerning his life. He says in the context, flee also youthful lusts. I was listening to a radio broadcast the other day, and a lady was giving her testimony about her work, and she said that she'd had six pastors in her life, and three of them had committed adultery, had been unfaithful to their wives. That's wild. Three out of six. Wow. Follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So anyway, in this text, you'd have to be purged from things like the wrong kind of teaching and the wrong kind of life, like sin, in order to be a vessel of honor. Meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. In order for that to happen, those things have to be taken out of there. And this process in silver involves fire. What happens simply is the ore is put into a crucible and it's heated. And as it heats, the silver melts and the dross rises and can be skimmed off, or the metal is heated. And then the other metal, which is the dross, like lead and tin and copper, come to the surface. And then the refiner blows on it. And as he does, what happens is the lead oxidizes, or the tin oxidizes, and turns into a powder, and then it's blown off of the top of the silver. Because he's not looking for lead, he's not looking for tin, he's not looking for copper, he's looking for silver. So he doesn't mind to see that stuff go away, because that's dross to him. It's unusable for what he's trying to do. Anyway, what happens in either case, whether the dross is skimmed off the top or oxidized and blown off the top, either way, the silver must be heated. Either way, it involves fire. Now, if you get saved, some of the sins in your life come out quickly. I mean, because you knew they were wrong before you even got saved. And then after you got saved, you just say, I'm not going to continue this wrong thing. I know that God wouldn't approve. And so whatever it was there were some obvious things that you knew were wrong, or some obvious things about which the Lord dealt with you immediately, and you just said, okay, I'll let them go. God's grace was abundant. You had a strong desire to be done with those sins anyway, and they didn't present a problem for you. You just got rid of them. Some people call that deliverance. I know in my case, certainly God's grace was abundant to help me get rid of things, but some of those things, it wasn't a struggle at all, even though I'd been, you know, involved with that stuff for years. It wasn't a struggle. I just knew it was wrong, and I didn't want to do it anymore. God changed my heart. All right. Other sins are much harder to give up and much harder for you to see. I mean, in other words, God being the refiner, he sees them. He knows what they are. You, being the metal, being the vessel, you may not be quite as aware that these are problems, and he has to get those things out of there. He's got to get the dross out of your life for you to become a vessel of honor. And that's his desire. He wants you to be a vessel of honor. So he heats things up. And this heat, this fire, comes upon you in the form of suffering, or it comes in the form of a trial, and it refines that silver that's in your redeemed soul. You see, in the Bible, if you look at redemption, and you look at silver, you're going to find they're closely connected. The redemption money that was taken up, the half shekel that was taken up for each of the citizens of Israel, each of the people that were children of the tribes of Israel. Okay, that silver, that redemption money, was a silver half shekel. So in your life, that redemption of your soul is like silver. And in order for that to be refined, God's going to have to allow some suffering or some trials to come your way. For Joseph, there was a prison. What good would it have done for Joseph to fight against God while he was in the prison and to bellyache and complain about how he did not need to be there? He had pride about his dreams. We know that. We don't know other things that God had to deal with him about, but we know about that. He dreamed those dreams, and God dealt with him about that, and he didn't come out proud about that stuff anymore. Well, for Joseph, you see, there was a prison. It doesn't make any sense that he should go through there, but he did for years. For Paul, there was a thorn in the flesh. Why? The potential pride over the revelations that God had given him. God knew there would be. God knew that he had to leave that thorn in his flesh in order to keep him from being exalted about those revelations. So that's what he got, and that refined him. For Daniel, there was a lion's den. If you go back and read Daniel's life in the book of Daniel, you'll see there was a time when the king actually worshipped him. And Daniel did not do there what Peter did when Peter said to Cornelius, "Stand up, I myself am a man as thou art." And a preacher said he had to go through that lion's den later in his life because he accepted that worship. For Jacob, there was a crippling wrestling match with an angel, which brought him from being the supplanter Jacob to the prince Israel. And there was no other way it was going to happen. And he limped for the rest of his life. The evidence of his refinement was apparent every time he took a step. For David, there was the death of Bathsheba's child, the death of other of his children, but that one particularly. For Joshua, there was the defeated Ai. They went in and they had that defeat where I think 36 troops died, and he came back, man, oh God, you should have left us out there in the wilderness. What'd you bring us in here for? You know, he's still a little afraid, some fear. And God said, you get up there, you know I brought y'all in here, and go back there and fight that thing. The trouble is not with me, the trouble is with Achan. And he sorted him out and killed the man and got rid of his family, got rid of the accursed thing, and went on and won the battles. You know, a preacher listed the dross after the fire in his commentary regarding this particular verse. He said that the dross left over after the fire has struck in your life will be something like this: self-love, self-praise, laziness, pride, envy, selfishness, covetousness, indifference to the lost, lack of love for the Bible, insincerity, you know, pretending to be real concerned about somebody when, you don't really care. Love of security and comfort. Lack of zeal. The desire to exaggerate. Gossip, tale-bearing, backbiting, fear of man, self-pity. You know, I've got a dross pile that looks an awful lot like this group of sins right here that this preacher listed. I mean, seriously, there have been things that I've gone through in my saved life that had such a profound effect and such a supernatural change on my life that I know of no other way for these particular sins to have come out without a blazing fire. And God got a hold of them. And I mean, there's nothing that I would have done or could have done about these things. I did not realize they were a problem. God is the refiner. God is the one that is forming the vessel. God saw those things in there. He said, I don't want those things anymore in there. And after we came out on the other side of the fire, looking back, it was evident some of the sins that God had to deal with. These aren't these bad ones. You know, people are always talking about, I know I need to quit smoking or drinking or cussing or chewing or whatever they're involved in. This group of sins here is not as obvious to you and even to other people, but they're very obvious to God, and they're going to mess you up. Don't you know that a vessel cannot be a vessel of honor to God if he's in love with himself? Don't you know that a vessel cannot be an honor to God if he's praising himself, or if he's lazy, or if he's proud, or if he's envious? Everybody major that dies in the Bible, like Naboth and Moses and Stephen and Jesus Christ, they're all dying because of envy. Somebody didn't like them and killed them. How about men that are covetous? Man, there are a lot of guys today that are in the ministry that are covetous. That doesn't bring honor to God when they're building up a legacy for themselves. Or indifference to the lost. I mean, they're very involved in the ministry, but they're not very involved in leading lost people to Jesus Christ. You know, there's an awful lot of money expended in the United States of America on churches, church buildings, and ministries associated with the churches and overhead to run those things, and very few, if any, people get saved in those ministries. It's always been a concern of mine that it takes a lot of money to run a ministry in the United States of America. We give a tremendous amount of money that comes to this church away to missions, and my desire and hope is, and prayer to God is, that we'll be able to increase that every year, more and more, substantially more than what we do. Because I know that in certain fields around the country and world, there are people that are getting saved in greater numbers than they are here. And, you know, if you take the number of people that are saved and how much it costs to win a soul to Christ, that's an astounding number. And, you know, I was reading the budget of a church. This church had like $48 million in property. It had an annual operating budget of something like $11 million, and they had like 20 people baptized last year. And it is a Presbyterian church, and so you don't know whether those people that were baptized were even saved. They may have just been baptized as a condition of being one of the elect after going through catechism. Now think about that. $48 million in property, $11 million in an annual budget, 20 people baptized. Let's say they all did get saved. 20 people? Let's see, that's $500,000 per soul. If you consider that the ministry is tied to leading souls to Jesus Christ. Of course, I realize there are other things that you have to do when souls get saved. They have to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, a lot of other things like that. But nonetheless, wow. All right, so you see, and going down the rest of this list here, there is a lot of stuff that has to be done. There's a lot of lack of love for the Bible. I remember sitting under a preacher's preaching one time, and I'm telling you, the guy, I mean, he had a growing ministry, and he was a great administrator and a great speaker. And he had encouraged his people that year to read through their Bible one time, cover to cover. And, you know, he was preaching right around Christmas time, so there was a week left in the year, and he said, well, I've got quite a bit of Bible to read to be able to finish my Bible reading by the end of the year. And I thought to myself, good night. I realize this guy is busy, but everybody's busy. You know, 3 pages of Bible a day, I think, gets you through the Bible one time in a year, maybe 4 pages. Wow. And you know how the rest of it goes. Anyway, I still don't know of any other way for these particular sins to come out of your life or out of my life without a blazing fire. Now, the fire may take on different characteristics in your life from somebody else's life. Your fire may be sickness. I know people that have gotten very sick and ended up in the hospital with something that was very critical, and later God healed them. They got through it the doctors did a wonderful job, and by God's grace, they got through the thing. But I'll tell you, while they were there, they did some serious, serious soul searching. And when they did, they came up with some dross, and it blew off. And they came out of that thing, and they were changed. They weren't ever going to be like they were before they got sick. God might use you losing your job. You might get fired from your job. And that could be a terrible blow to you and your family and to your ego. But during that period of time where you're getting into another job and doing things, you may find that the Lord uses that in your life to refine you. You might get jilted by a trusted friend. That's right. You've got somebody that you're a good friend with, perhaps in the ministry with, do things with, and all of a sudden they do something, and I mean, that tears you up, destroys you, or attempts to destroy you. God might use that. It may be time in prison. We've got a young fellow right now that I know that's in prison we're praying for right now, that God will use that in his life as a refiner's fire to get the dross out of his life and bring him out as a vessel of honor. It might take the death of a loved one. There are people literally that have gotten on for doing something for God as a result of losing a spouse or a child or a parent. You might find that the fire in your life is a divorce where you're the innocent party and God's not in favor of divorce. But you may find that that becomes the refiner's fire, because you've got to suffer through the consequences of what the other party did and then try to put your life back together. And during that time, you'll be seeking for somebody like God to help you. It may take a tragedy, like the loss of everything in a storm or a fire. Don't you know there are a lot of people that have testimonies right now about how their lives have changed as a result of Katrina or as the result of a tornado? I mean, there are a lot of people who go right on willy-nilly, collect the insurance, go on and do something else, and they never change. But there are a lot of people, if you could hear their testimonies, whose lives are not the same because of a tragedy. I'm reminded when I was a teenager that there was a young man that was in our town. And, you know, I kind of remember this fella when we were, you know, growing up. He was one of these guys that was like a preppy, okay? And he had good stuff. His parents had money, had nice clothes, and I just well-groomed and the whole thing, so that you knew that he was from a good family type situation. And what I mean by that, I mean well-to-do, okay? Because there are a lot of good families don't have any money at all, but I mean well-to-do. All right, well, he was a godless character, and he was driving up in Wichita Falls around by a lake when a tornado came through and lifted up his car and flipped him upside down and threw him in that lake that he was going by, and then miraculously sucked him back out of that lake before he drowned and flipped him back up on that levee that he was driving on and saved his life. Well, let me tell you, buddy, that became a religious experience for that guy. His dross was refined, and I can remember going to a house in our hometown where that young man spoke about getting saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. God used that experience to shake him up so bad he got saved. And he wanted to tell everybody he knew about Jesus Christ. And he got this whole group together to tell us what happened in that tornado and to witness to us about the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, he may use a miscarriage. Oh, there are a lot of women, lots of couples that have come close to the Lord after losing a child. There may be a near fatality where you go through a wreck and then just jog your head and go, whoa, man, I could have died in that thing. It could be that you have to spend a few months in a home. It's not prison, but you go into a place where I preach and get your life straightened out. The Lord used that stuff to be a fire to remove dross from your life. Now, what happens is you'll come through these things to find amazingly that you are not what you were when you went into those things. Something has changed supernaturally. So when you find yourself being refined, there are some things to remember, because God will do it. And let me say, it's not the kind of thing you look forward to. Oh, boy, I can't wait till the next time I go through the refiner's fire. No, it's not like that. Those are hard, bitter sometimes experiences. Of course, you can't get bitter. But they're tough. So when you go through them, there are four things you need to remember. One, when you see the fire, call on the Lord. That's right. When you see the fire, you start calling on God, because that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to wake you up. and you want to let him know, hey, God, I'm hearing you. I'm listening. Show me whatever it is you want to show me. God says in Zechariah 13:9, I will bring the third part through the fire and will refine them as silver is refined and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name and I will hear them and I will say, it is my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God. Well, there you go. They call on my name when they go through that fire. The first thing you want to do is you want to call on God. Say, hey, God, and you need to start praying. I know you're there, and I realize this fire may be something that's coming at your hand, and I'm begging you, Heavenly Father, to help me, and I mean draw close to the Lord in fellowship. Start listening, start praying, get in that book, and get close to God. That's the first thing. Because, see, if you go through that fiery trial, that experience, that suffering, and you don't draw close to God, you've missed the benefit of the whole thing. There may be another one coming right quick, and you'll have to go back through that same thing again. So you let God know, hey, I'm listening. No matter if it's you that's putting this on me or somebody else, God, I'm looking to you and I'm not looking to anybody else. I'm not trying to pick a fight with anybody. I don't want to get back at anybody. If you know, your boss fired you or somebody jilted you, you don't need to be worried about getting back at them. Boy, what you need to be doing is you need to be concerned about the refiner. And you let him know that you're there to talk to him and hear him. Second thing to do when you go through the refiner's fire is... you remember this, the refiner is there watching closely. The refiner is there watching closely. Remember that. Malachi 3:3, just remember that. Nothing is going to take God by surprise that takes place in your life if you're saved. Nothing. Malachi 3:3, he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. What's the deal? He's sitting there. He's sitting right there. And you've heard the illustration, you know, that he won't quit refining the silver until he sees his own reflection in the silver. God's looking to form his image in you, and he's going to keep putting you through the fire until he sees himself in you. You've heard those illustrations before, and there's some truth to that. But the point is, you got to remember something, that God is there. He is watching. And he knows exactly how far to go with the fiery trial. And you got to trust him. You've got to trust him. You don't have any choice, really. You can fight him, but no good that'll do you, because all you'll do is lengthen the stay. So you simply let him know that you're trusting him, and you give him absolute liberty to accomplish in your life whatever he needs to do. You become complicit and compliant. Go along with anything he wants to do. Go anywhere he'd have you to go, and just be cleansed up and purified and refined by the refiner. So you got to trust him. And remember, he is there. He's watching you closely. All right, here's the third thing to do. The refiner is looking for an improvement in the vessel. So remember that. All right, remember that the refiner is looking for an improvement in the vessel. That's what our text says. Take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the refiner. All right, well then God is trying to make you better than what you are. And you will both like the refined product. You won't like the process necessarily, but you'll love the refined product. I've got a friend of mine, and six years ago, he went through something bad, boy. I mean, it really tore him up and kind of weighed on him for probably a couple of years. All right. I saw him this year, and I was talking to him, and I asked him, I said, are you the same person today that you were 6 years ago? He said, no way. No way. You know what that is? That is the result of refinement. God knows what it's going to take to make you better. And you like comfort, and so do I. You like security, and so did I. But the truth of the matter is, if God has to remove those things from you for a period of time in order to get you to be a better vessel for his glory and for his honor, then just know that when the refining is done, you're going to like the result better, and so is God. Both of you are going to like it better. It is an improvement. It is an improvement, all right? Here's the fourth thing to remember, and the last thing to remember. The refiner won't stop until he gets what he wants. The refiner won't stop until he gets what he wants. Isaiah 48, verse 10. The refiner will not stop till he gets what he wants. Because he sees the dross, he's got you in the fire, he's going to keep that fire on you till he gets it. Isaiah 48:10. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction for mine own sake. Even for mine own sake will I do it. And how should my name be polluted? And I will not give my glory unto another. God didn't want his name polluted, so he put him in that refiner's fire. So I'm doing that for my sake. He's not going to stop till he gets what he wants. So you got to remember these things. They're very, very important. When you get saved, the old man is dross to the new man, and he's going to take away the glory of that vessel of honor that God wants you to be. So, like the dross is removed from silver by fire, so the dross will be removed from your life by a fiery trial. The great men of the Bible, Joseph, Paul, Daniel, Jacob, David, they all went through these kind of things. Joshua, you'll go through it too. And the type of dross that comes out of there is not anything that you might expect. The easy stuff you've dealt with before the fire because you don't want the fire. But however God chooses to do it, through sickness, through a layoff, being fired from your job, jilted by a trusted friend, a prison, death of a loved one, a divorce, a tragedy, a fatality, a near fatality, whatever it may be, God will use that thing to change you supernaturally. So remember these four things. When you see the fire, call on the Lord. And don't forget to stay with him when the fire dies down. Some people have short memories. Secondly, when you go through the fire, the refiner is there watching closely, so trust him. He knows just how long to keep you in there, just how hot to make the fire, and just how much dross to take off. Remember that the refiner is looking for an improvement in the vessel. So you're going to be better off for it. Let him have his way. And remember, the refiner will not stop until he gets what he wants. And it's his vessel. You're bought with a price. You're not your own. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. He's got you now. And he wants you to do something, and he's going to keep that fire. You know, the best thing to do is just go along with him. Go along with him and let him do what he needs to do so he can get you back out of the fire and let you get back on to serving him as a vessel of honor. Glory to God. Tremendous text there. Take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. God bless you. I pray that you can go through this thing and come out very much a vessel of honor for our Savior.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.